An unusual hearing was held in the Senate the other day, and it was about disaster preparedness in the light of what happened in Japan. The authorities are wanting to make sure that we are prepared for disaster. But that hearing only exposed what Filipinos already know. We are not prepared. According to the study, if disaster strikes in a 7.2 magnitude earthquake, significant damage will be sustained by the infrastructure, multitude of fires will occur, and in other words, the disaster will really produce disaster in Metro Manila. And one of the reasons for this is the widespread violation of the building code. Many are far below safety standards. Kaya hindi tayo handa kapag may dumating na kalamidad na kagaya ng nangyari sa Japan o kahit mas mahina pang lindol na nangyari sa Japan, hindi tayo handa sapagkat palagi nating sinasalangsang ang mga patakaran na may kinalaman sa gusali. At kapag tayo ay lumabag sa mga patakaran na yan na ang layunin ay bigyan tayo ng matibay na material para sa ating mga gusali at manatiling nakatayo sa kabila ng mga kalamidad, eh ito nga ang nangyayari sa atin. Now, if this is true in the realm of physical infrastructure, this is even more so and scandalously so in the spiritual realm. God has conceived the blueprint in the construction of His church. And one picture used in the New Testament to describe the church is in terms of building. And what the building ought to be in terms of foundation and materials, God Himself has ordained. God Himself has done the blueprint. And we are not to violate that. And this month we are using that figure pregnant with significance in order to refresh our thinking that there are such things we must follow as standard of the church. Now, it is common for people to use the word church to mean the building in the literal sense. And we need to correct that and say that the building is not the church. However, building is a good figure of the church. And we so far saw the part which is the foundation. And the foundation corresponds to the message of the church. We saw last week the materials. And the materials correspond to the membership of the church. And both in the message and the membership of the church, God has His own design. May disenyo ang Diyos para sa pundasyon na mensahe, para sa mga material na mga miyembro. Hindi maaring kung ano-ano na lamang ang magustuhan natin, ayun ang gagawin natin sa iglesia. Hindi ito ating iglesia. Iglesia ito ng Panginoon at ang kalooban niya ang dapat na mangibaba. We must follow God's design. We cannot invent our own idea of what the church might be. And this bears on your decision. Some of you may be thinking, you want to become a member of the church. And for us members, we have a decision to make as well. And this fact bears on that decision as to who to receive into the membership of the church. There are designs by God which we must not violate. I invite you now to again to turn to our main passage, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 to 17. First Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 to 17. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Again, marking out that passage, I invite you to one other passage in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Familiar words of Paul to Timothy, the first letter, chapter 3. Let's read verses 14 to 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that, if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. As I was explaining in the past messages, the Corinthian passage is Paul's correction to a wrong spirit that was prevalent in the Corinthian church. And that spirit was that of partisanship. Sila'y nagkakanya-kanya, nagkakampi-kampihan, at ang sinasabi ng isa, ako'y kay Pedro, yung isa naman, ako'y kay Apollos, at ang iba'y ako'y kay Pablo. At pinakita ni Apostol Pablo na ito'y makalaman na diwa na hindi dapat mamayani sa Kristiyano, hindi dapat mamayani sa isang iglesia. But what Paul does is to analyze what's behind that kind of party spirit is a wrong idea of church leadership. They looked at their leaders the way the world looked at party leaders or political leaders. They were considered like lords around whom they rallied. And Apostle Paul corrected that by saying, what are these leaders? They are but instruments. And what Paul does is use two figures in order to give the right understanding of the role of leaders. The first figure he drew from the farm, the field of farming, and using the sowing and the watering. That's what Paul said leaders do. They are the ones who sow just as I planted. They are the ones who water, just as Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? God gave the increase. So that's the first figure he used. Now, the figure that interests us is the figure of the building. This is now from verse 9 to following. He uses the figure of the building, but again, to give the right understanding of the role of church leadership and at the same time, your place in it as members of the church. So itong ginagawa niya at pinakita niya rito that pagdating sa pundasyon, permanente ang pundasyon. Hindi pwedeng ang leader ang magpapasya na magpapalit ng pundasyon. The message is permanent. The message is about Jesus Christ as witnessed to by the scriptures that cannot be changed. Now after the foundation, the structure is the next concern. And the crucial question is the materials to use. And the materials of the building, metaphor of the church, correspond to church membership. Who can constitute church membership? And we said last week that membership of the church is constructed of believers covenanted to exalt God in Christ. The sole distinction we will look for in anyone who will seek to become a member of the church is that he is a follower of Christ. He is a believer in Christ. We're not seeking for the AB class or for this type of personality. We want anyone and everyone for as long as they are true believers in Christ. But then there is the covenant to exalt God in Christ. Now we come to the concern of expansion. It happens in construction. And it corresponds obviously to church growth. Paul in Corinthians describes that expansion in the right way and in the wrong way, whereas in Timothy, Paul's point is to show that the expansion of the church must be consistent with the redemptive message. Combining the two, let me draw this message for this afternoon. The church must seek progressive expansion impelled by her redemptive message. Ang iglesia ay dapat maghanap ng paglago na naayon sa kanyang dinadalang mensahe ng katubusan. The church must seek progressive expansion impelled by her redemptive message. Now, this is obvious in the earlier figure used by Paul, agriculture, plants. It indicates growth is an essential part of church life. In using now the building figure, there is still the concept of growth, but consistent with the building figure, I'm using the word expansion. The building must expand. I remember when we started in GMA, Grace Ministerial Academy, in 1996, we were using a very cramped room, but we have expanded since. We are now using a semi-auditorium, which indicates growth. Now, that's the metaphor of the building. As the building expands, this is at the same time what's expected of the church. You begin with minimum material, so you begin with foundation, but as you build on the foundation, you use more materials, we expect growth. The church, as a building figure, must have room for expansion. We expect church growth. If you will expect church growth, we'll be prepared to address three possibilities that relate to the expansion of the church. What are those three possibilities? First, the lack of progressive expansion. Yung kawalan ng paglago ng iglesia, the lack of progressive expansion. Secondly, the fake of progressive expansion. The fake of progressive expansion. At ikatlo, the work of progressive expansion. So those three, we must be prepared to address because those three can happen in any church situation. So if we are to expect, we are to seek progressive expansion, how do we address, first of all, the lack of progressive expansion? A church may retain all the externals of church life, meaning it has a membership, it has its activities that make it a church, and yet no growth is being experienced. Now, when you sow a seed, you expect it to germinate. And when you water it, you expect growth. Kapag ikaw ay nagtanim, iasahan mo niya na itutubo. Lalo pat iyong inaalagaan at dinidiligan sa larawan ng gusali, ito rin ang inaasahan. Once you have the foundation and the materials, you expect progress. But there are situations today where a church community goes on in its life, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, and there is no expansion. What do we say to this? Well, we must find it unacceptable. For there is ordinarily growth in the church where there is faithfulness to the message. And that is my conviction. If a church is faithful to the message, ordinarily, there will be a manifestation of growth. And I'm saying this because I'm saddened by the attitude I encounter in some churches where there is no growth for a good while of time. The attitude is often a retreat into the doctrine of God's sovereignty as an excuse. I have encountered that again and again. Yung mga iglesyang hindi lumalago at ang kalimitan na nagiging pangangatwira nila ay umaatras sila sa doktrina ng pagkasoberano ng Diyos. You will often hear them say something like this, "Well, God is the one who gives growth. If there is no growth, then I accept it. I'm resigned to the way God is dealing with us. If there is no growth, then so be it." And often that excuse is accompanied by indolence in ministry, sloth, no zeal. Now, we believe in the sovereignty of God as it pertains to the growth of the church. But you will notice in our passage in 1 Corinthians 3, when Paul appealed to the concept of God's sovereignty, he used that concept to speak of growth rather than lack of growth. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So God is sovereign, but sovereign in the way of giving increase. So don't use the sovereignty of God to excuse lack of growth. Paul clearly believed that when you are faithful in the sowing and watering, in the plant figure, there will be germination, there will be increase and growth of the church. And yet I know churches that have been going on for years without any visible conversion in their midst, and the situation is accepted without burden, without pain, as though it is the ordinary thing to happen. And I say no. Now often this lack of growth and lack of conversion can even be defended with a very perverse idea. And the idea is stated like this: truth is always in the minority. And almost the attitude assumed is, when you are in the truth, you will be few. When you begin to grow and begin to be many, be suspicious. I've encountered that attitude in those who otherwise should know the sovereignty of God and the doctrines of grace. We must reject this. No, we must expect growth. And when there is no growth, we must be pained by it. And we must plead with God to reverse the situation. Because growth is what God intended for the church. When recession occurred in 2009, the whole world took notice. The whole world found it unacceptable. And they're talking of economic, financial recession. We're talking of the growth of the church, the expansion of the kingdom of Christ, the more we should find it unacceptable. Therefore, the challenge for us is to combine believing prayer and pleading passion for our redemptive message. That message is meant for conversion. That message is not just to be heard. When we preach this message, we preach it so that people hearing it may be saved, may be converted. It was Jesus who saw the multitude. He was moved with compassion. And then he said this in Matthew 9:37, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Let us have the eyes of the Lord Jesus. As we cast our sight upon the world, we must see their harvest, potential harvest. And what the Lord is asking are laborers. And with laborers are intercessors. Pray the Lord of the harvest. When there is no growth, it is not that there is no harvest, but it is because there is lacking in prayer, there is lacking in labor, because when these two combine, prayer and labor, there will be harvest. That's what Jesus said, and I believe that. This is the reason why a significant substance of our prayer meeting is dedicated to praying for our evangelism, praying for conversion, praying for specific visitors so that the Lord may visit them with grace. We believe in the converting power of our message. It calls for conversion, nothing less. And I'm telling you, my friend, you have heard the message again and again from this pulpit, but it will never be satisfied. This pulpit will never be satisfied. This church will never be satisfied until you are converted. Not just a hearer. Not just someone who knows the message, but converted. Are you converted now? Have you come to faith in Christ? And we will never rest satisfied with anything less than that. So we must not rest satisfied when no conversion is happening in our ministry. For this is our aim. The building is meant for expansion. Let us not be satisfied with just the same condition year in and year out. We cannot be satisfied with something stagnant. When there is a message that converts, and under the blessing of God, when people pray and labor, there will be conversion. One of the greatest preachers of history, without question, was C.H. Spurgeon, who ministered for several decades in London with thousands flocking his church known as the Metropolitan Tabernacle. It was so well known that when Sunday came in the 19th century London, people will flock to the church and there will be special transportations of boats and carriages with people calling out, "Come over to Charlie," meaning Spurgeon. But did you know that Spurgeon began with 7 people? And other ministers with less commitment would have given up on that. But he believed in the message. No, he did not have a secret method or formula. He just had a message. And the same message is ours. So the lack of progressive expansion is unacceptable. Then the fake of progressive expansion. Paano yung uri ng paglago na hindi totoo? Huwad. Pwede mangyari ito. In the Corinthian text, Paul alludes to materials that appear as addition, but in the end they are burned. Wood, hay, and straw. In themselves, they seem to add to the materials, but they get burned. Now, the Roman Catholics have used this passage for proof text of their idea of purgatory. Na darating daw yung mga tao na dadaan pa rin sa pagparusa bago sila makarating ng langit. Eh, hindi po yan ang tinuturo dito. That is a desperate plea. No, it refers to those who were accepted to the church, treated as converts by a loose ministry, and yet they prove to be false, they get burnt. They prove to be false converts, they get burned, although the minister himself may be a true Christian. So the minister himself may be saved, but he labored in a manner that he was satisfied with fake growth. And it reminds us of something which is often the fake of progressive expansion. Mere numerical addition of professing converts is not necessarily genuine church growth. Yung pagdadagdag lang ng bilang sa mga miyembro ng iglesia ay hindi nangangahulugan na katumbas ito ng totoong paglago. This is the danger when growth is defined primarily in terms of number of additions over a period of time. And sometimes this is even carried to excess. I grew up in a church where every Sunday we are told of the goal of the church in terms of number. This year we must grow by 300. This year we must grow by 500. And it has been hammered out on us that the blessing of the church is when you reach this goal of numbers. Eh, ang nangyayari, nagkakarera doon sa number, kanya-kanyang gimmick, kanya-kanyang mga promotional marketing para maabot yung bilang, at nagkakaroon ng karagdagan. Ay marami rin ang nababawas, mga hindi naman totoong ligtas, naguunahan lang yung nadaragdag at nababawas. When numerical growth becomes the be-all and all of church progress, the result is message compromise. You begin to soften the message in order to easily attract decision makers. It is often reduced to an easy formula so as to allow the most number of decision for addition to the church. And this is often accompanied by boasting and by comparing. Models of church growth are measured in terms of number. When I was in Bible college with my earlier church, we were given this textbook which was again hammered out on us as something we must read through and through. The title was The 10 Fastest Growing Churches in America. And sure enough, they are in the thousands. But at the same time, the thousands are accompanied by an easy formula of a message that does not produce true repentant people with the fruit of holiness. No, we cannot accept that kind of growth. Just as we do not accept lack of expansion, we do not want fake expansion. And the challenge for us is to have that kind of message which exercises discernment in the opportunities of growth in the church. Gamitin natin ang ating kamalayan, ang ating karunungan sa mga oportunidad natin ng paglago. Tumor is treated as part of the body, which makes it the harder to heal. Virus, your system knows it's not part of the body, and all you need is an antibiotic in order to treat it. But tumor is something that registers on the body as its own part. And so when you have cancer, it's so hard to heal and address because it's part of the body when it should not be. Well, the body can have something like that, addition of tumor. And there are times in the crisis of the church when we will need to excise tumors. That though for some time they were treated as part of the body, the need, the necessity, the life preservation of the body must take precedence over tumor. They need to be excised. So we need to exercise discernment in the opportunities of growth in the church. When the church becomes addition-oriented, it ceases to be the household of God. This is what Paul reminds Timothy, that in the household of God, there is an ought. If I delay in coming, he tells Timothy, you ought to tell the members of the household of God how they ought to conduct themselves in the house of God. There is an ought. Before addition, we want genuine conversion. And when a person is truly converted, we must see the work of the Holy Spirit in him. If possible, I want you all added to the church. But there is something prior to that. You need to deal with the gospel. Mere addition to the church does not make it. You need to deal with the gospel. If you have dealt with the gospel genuinely, repentantly, and believingly, you need to be a member of the church, but not until then. Jonathan Edwards was much used in his church in Northampton. He inherited the ministry of his grandfather, who was loose in the acceptance of members. When the time came that it was Edwards who became chief minister, he wanted to impose the biblical standard, which he called visible sainthood. And he made the policy announcement that from then on, only those who demonstrate visible sainthood should be received into the Lord's Supper. And leading families struck back. And after 23 years of faithful ministry, it was Edwards who was removed by his own church. People resist a ministry that will have a standard, that will have an ought. Let us keep a church that has an ought. An ought, which means we will keep from fake additions and from fake growth. Finally, the work of progressive expansion. The use of the building metaphor underscores the work of construction that the builder must do. Yung paggamit ng gusali bilang larawan, ipinapakita na trabaho ito. Hindi naman basta lalago ang gusali, lalaki ang gusali na hinihintay mong lumaki. Ito'y tinatrabaho. Where the plant figure underscores the sovereignty of God, it is He who causes growth, there is mystery in it. The construction figure underscores the responsibility of the church, both ministry and membership. Tinatrabaho ang paglago, ang paglaki ng gusali. At anong pangunahing trabaho? The proclamation of the church is the mediating link to the world of the redemptive deeds of God. There's something so beautiful here in Timothy. When Paul tells Timothy what the church is, it is the pillar and ground of the truth. He then spells out the truth. Great is the mystery of godliness, he said. And then he lists those great redemptive activities of God, God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, received into glory. These are the great redemptive deeds of incarnation, resurrection, crucifixion, ascension. But tucked in the middle of all this, these great deeds of God, incarnation, cross, resurrection, the pouring out of the Spirit, all works of God, what was the one work attributed to the church? Proclaimed on in the world. Isipin niyo yun. Itong mga dakilang gawa ng Diyos, isiningit o inihanay ay ang gawain ng iglesia sa pangangaral. Kahanay ng pagkakatawang tao ni Kristo. Kahanay ng kanyang pagkamatay sa krus. Kahanay ng kanyang pagkabuhay na muli. Kahanay ng pagsusugo sa banal na Espiritu. Ang inihanay dyan na gawain ng iglesia ay hindi ang iba't ibang kinaiinteresan ngayon. Hindi politika, hindi merkado, hindi negosyo, hindi pera. Ang inihanay na gawain ng iglesia sa mga gawa ng Diyos ay ang pangangaral ng mensahe ng salita ng Diyos. We are in line with the great redemptive activities of God by proclaiming the word of the gospel. Meaning between these redemptive activities and the world, how will they know? Well, they will not discover them for themselves. How will they know that God once sent His Son to become a human being, lived a life that was perfect, die on the cross as a substitute, rise from the dead, He poured out His Spirit? How will the world know? God determined that the world will know by this one means of the proclamation of the church. Isipin niyo yung kadakilaan na ibinigay sa pangangaral ng salita ng Diyos na gawain ng iglesia. At ito ngayon ang sinasabi ng mga churchgoers, ministers, na masyado na yan, palitan na natin, gawin natin mas exciting, concert na lang, at group dynamics at politics, yan ang ipinamamalit ngayon. Samantalang inihana yan sa mga ganitong kadakilang gawain ng Diyos. So I have this most basic principle of church growth. It's not a formula. It's not a secret. This is what this verse is telling us. The basic principle is expansion through proclamation. We have no secret. We want to expand, but the way to expansion is proclamation. Society is not lacking in organizations tasked to earn profit. There are businesses left and right. Society is not lacking in organizations that advance certain political interests and cause. You have political parties left and right. But God so designed that one community will be mandated to mediate to the world His redemptive deeds, and that's the church. The way redemptive deeds will be mediated is not through political action, not through sensationalized activities of the church, but the simple, old-fashioned proclamation. So faithful proclamation is the way of expansion. Faithful proclamation is the way to neutralize any lack of progressive expansion. It is that which neutralizes fake expansion. And we have those opportunities. I, for one, appreciate every evidence of support and participation by the members of the church. Every now and then, people will rise to claim they have discovered the one means of growth. From the so-called G12 to PDL to Best Life Now, and each of these discovered method will live for a while, will have its hysteria for a while, but then will go passé, will turn obsolete, and yield to a new fad. And so forth and so on, the fads will arise, the fads will live for a time, the fads will die. Now, it's not fad that we are living by. It's the same old-fashioned proclamation. We are not interested in fads. We will, of course, adapt to new environments. We adapt new tools, but always to proclaim. And history bears out the fact that behind every advance of the cause of God in the world is not a musical concert, but preaching and proclamation. The advance of the missionary cause was when William Carey preached that immortal sermon based on Isaiah 54, in which he called for attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. And the missionary enterprise blossomed. And I can multiply cases, but every time there is growth in the kingdom of God, behind it is proclamation. And you and I are in our opportunity, in our generation. Let this church be known for proclamation, for that is the task through which God intended expansion to happen. Every member must ask, how am I an instrument in the church's expansion through proclamation? How do you add to the proclamation of the church through your voice, gifts, ministries, witness, opportunities? How do you add to that? And let me challenge also, if the church is to be a growing church, it can only happen with growing members. Are you growing personally in your experience of God, in your knowledge of the Word, in your graces? Are you growing in all these things? This is the most thrilling expansion going on in the world today. It's not business. It's not politics. The news is on them. The media is focused on them. But really, the most thrilling expansion going on in the world today is that of the building of God. And the great and most humbling thing to realize, God condescended to the likes of you and me and asked, would you help him? Would you be an instrument in the promotion of and expansion of his kingdom? Well, let us give ourselves then to this task, shall we? That of proclamation of the Word of God, the redemptive message, and expect that there should be expansion in the church. Let us sing our last hymn. Go labor on, spend and be spent. Thy joy to do the Father's will, it is the way the Master went. Should not a servant tread it still. So, tinatawag tayo sa pagpapagal. Ibigay natin ang bagay na hiningi ng Diyos na sa pamamagitan nito ay makapaghikayat tayo ng mga makasalanan. Verse 4 says, go labor on while it is day. The world's dark night is hastening on. Speed, speed thy work, cast sloth away. It is not thus that souls are won. We are in the business of winning souls, bringing the kingdom to expansion. It calls upon men and women who are prepared to labor for the Lord. Let's close in prayer.
Tunay ngang lumalapit kami sa iyo, aming Diyos at Ama, upang tanggapin ang ipinagkatiwala mo sa amin at ito ang iyong plano para sa iglesia bilang iyong gusali, iyong sangbayan. Ay may bagay na inaasahan mo sa iglesia na kung ito'y nasa tamang pundasyon at may tamang mga materyales, magkakaroon ng paglaki, paglago ang iglesia. Kaya tulungan mo, Panginoon, na hanapin namin ang ganitong paglago at paglaki ng iglesia sa paraan ng iyong pagpapala, sa pamamagitan ng mensahe ng iyong katubusan. Help us, Lord, to address a situation that happens many times in churches that tend to excuse lack of growth. For where there is faithful prayer and proclamation of the message, you have intended that the harvest is truly plentiful. But you are calling upon us to pray the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers into his harvest. But where there is that prayer, where there is that labor, the harvest is plentiful. So may we not retreat into a wrong use of the sovereignty of God. For that very sovereignty Paul used as pertaining to the growth of the church and not its lack of growth. So help us, Lord, to learn to both pray and labor. And may we also be careful not to fall into the fake kind of progressive expansion. Not every addition of new materials is a true, genuine growth of the church. And so help us not to orient ourselves to mere addition, for a church that becomes oriented to mere numerical addition will compromise its message. And the message has certain requirements. The message has a real result in those who accept this message. And so we ask that you would make us truly discerning in the exercise of the opportunities of growth that is ours, that we may learn to depend upon you for every addition of real converts, those upon whom the Spirit has worked and in whom the message has visible fruits. And grant, Lord, that as expansion is a work that we must labor to do, and that work is not in what excites many today, but in that old-fashioned, faithful proclamation of the word. So make us zealous, diligent in proclamation, and yet realize that you have put the proclamation of the church on a very dignified footing by putting it on the line with the great redemptive deeds of incarnation, cross, resurrection, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All this, now the proclamation of the church. It is the proclamation of the church that mediates to the world that God has done something which perhaps they have not realized. And the media of this world will never report. The church must report. The church must proclaim. So help us, Lord, to truly examine ourselves and see where we stand in terms of our contribution to the proclamation of the church. See where we stand in terms of our own personal growth. For a growing church can only happen in a ministry and membership that are growing. So be with us. We pray, Lord, for those here who have yet to deal with the converting message of the gospel. We would not be satisfied with anything less than that every sinner hearing the message of the gospel may be converted. They may be attending regularly. They may be listening. They may come to a certain knowledge, but those are not enough. And we are not satisfied until we see them truly converted, dealing with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So once more, we pray that you will speak powerfully, effectively to those who have yet to come to Christ, and make them come to Christ and receive the gospel. And as a church, make use of us to be a church that proclaims the word, and where there is faithful proclamation by your blessing, we will see expansion. And may we desire it not for our own glory, but only for the glory of him who died for us and rose again. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.